WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Something and you want to get the devil back, do it like this. Bam! In your face, devil! That's right. Come on now. That's how you do it. Now, if you're really excited, go bam! In your face, devil! Hello, Bride. Good morning on this Tuesday morning. I'm so excited to be with you today because, listen, we are going into the book of Leviticus. Yay! We made it through Exodus. Let me tell you, did we learn so much about God during Exodus or what? We have learned how God likes to show out the way he did with Moses up on the mountain, showing out in front of all the children of Israel, doing all of his great signs and wonders. Shaking the mountains, the lightning, the cloud, and just so amazing what God did. And then we learned how meticulous is God. How meticulous is God to design a tabernacle of a tent and do it so specific with gold and how big to make this and how to do that and how the cherubims come to life and came together and covered the Ark of the Covenant. We learned how God had mercy upon us and gave us a second tablet of stone to give us his word. We've learned how God set boundaries with the children of Israel and how he wants to have relationship with them, but they have to follow these certain precepts. He likes things a certain way, but he let the bride know it now, didn't he? So we ended the book of Exodus with the temple is now set up, the children of Israel are in the promised land. God is set out the boundaries, and now we're going in Leviticus where we're learning about sin. Now listen, Brian, I know a lot of people hate talking about sin. They think sin is negative. I've had people tell me that. Sin is negative. I don't like talking about sin all the time. I just want to talk about positive things. Well, let me tell you, Brad, sin is what's going to throw you in hell. Sin is what separates you from God. And basically, that's what hell is. It's a separation from God. The goodness of the Lord. And let me tell you, we're going to learn a lot in Leviticus. And I'm very excited to be starting in Leviticus today and to be going through the Bible. Because remember, Brian, we asked God from day one when we did these Bible studies, Lord, please let this go deep in our heart. Bury the word deep in our heart. Because if they ever try to take the Bible from us, they can't take it out of our heart. So let us eat the scrolls of your word. And the Lord is honoring that, Brian. Do you know that we have been experiencing this just like we're living the times? We are feeling how they felt and experiencing what they felt. It's really an amazing thing. So now we're learning about the tabernacle and what does God have to say about it? And who is God? What's his character? So let's go ahead and pray and ask God to lead us in today's Bible study. Lord, we just want to praise you today, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you have taught us in these Bible studies, Lord. Thank you that you are literally implanting the word in our hearts so that we can know you. We thank you that you're bringing this word to life and you're helping us to see things the way that the people did back then, Lord. And you're helping us to see your heart and getting to know you more and how we can improve as humans to have a better relationship with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are here with us on the earth today. So lead us, teach us, and guide us today in this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want to tell you, Brian, I know some people are like, well, we don't need to read the Old Testament because that is the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he did away with the Old Testament. You know, that is such a disservice if we do that because the Old Testament shows us God the Father. Now, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, Brian, just so you that are tuning in and don't understand this. This word shows us God because we learn about God. You know, God is made up of three parts, the Trinity. He is one. We only see one. But he's made up of three distinct parts. Like, for instance, we are made in his image, correct? We are a body. We have a spirit. If our spirit leaves, we die. And we possess a soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And do you know that when we die, that soul is what's judged? And so when we read the Bible, we discover that the Old Testament, although it's the majority of it, the Old Testament is God the Father. And then we discover the middle, which is Jesus the Son. And then we discover the end of the book is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is done with his mission on the earth, then time is done. And then we're here for our eternity. That is the Trinity. It's one. We see one, but they're three distinct parts, just like we are. We're three distinct parts. So anyways, we need to learn the Old Testament. We need to know why God feels the way he does about sin. And we need to understand the price of sin and how very dangerous it is to us as humans. Okay, so let's all turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Let me get my glasses on here. Okay. Now here it says for Leviticus that this is the third book of Moses called the third book of Moses called Leviticus. Alright, and so y'all know I use the King James Bible, and then I use today I'm using the Bible Gateway, their Audible Bible,
Book of Leviticus,
which is Max McLean. Okay, so
the Book of Leviticus, chapter 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay, Brad, let me point out a few things here. Remember when God designed the tabernacle, how he designed it from the inside out. He designed it from the Holy of Holies and the consecrated place and where they have the Ark of the Covenant out to the tabernacle congregation, which is on the outer courts. Okay, so he's saying here that when the people bring by their own voluntary way to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, means the person should bring their sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle at their own will. And then he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. So, Brian, what happens is, now consider this, we are mammals, and animals are mammals. Okay, I've just thought about this as I was reading it. When we are passing our sins over into this mammal, we are basically passing the curse of what we did over into that animal, and then they are paying the price. They are giving their life for what we did. It's kind of sad when you think about it, but this is how the Lord did it. And it shall be made accepting unto him to make atonement for him, which means something has to pay when you sin. Something has to give. I want you to get this in your spirit, Brian. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Now, I can just hear some people say, why would God require them to be killed? Well, y'all remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you remember when Jacob went over to the wrong city, Canaan, and he married a woman from the wrong tribe, which means God hates mixing, and then he had a child, and that child was so evil that God killed it himself? God hates sin. He hates mixing. Okay? So, in other words, and then, guess what just came to my spirit? Do you remember when, was it Lot or was it Abraham? When God required the foreskins to come off, and then the wife had to turn around and cut the foreskin off real quick and said, you're a terror unto me. So see, the sin had to be, somebody had to kill for that. Somebody had to do something. That is God's character. The sin has to be held accountable to God. And that's what's happening right here. All right, so let's continue.
He shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of...
Okay, Brad, there's a few things right here I want to cover. First of all, it says, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Okay? Which means he has to cut the animal into pieces. And then, And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. God is the God of order. And that's what he's saying. That has to be done in a specific order. And the priest shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order that the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar. Remember when Aaron, the priests were consecrated to the Lord, they had to be washed, which I said was the first baptism, because they had to be washed and cleansed. That's what's happening right here. Think about it. Okay, we're passing our sins over to the animal, which is a mammal. They are taking our sins before the Lord. Then what does God say? Okay, you got to cut them into pieces. Then I want you to take the inwards, the inward parts, and I want you to wash them in water, which to me means cleanse, a cleansing, a baptism of the heart. You think about right now, we're the temple of God, right? He is right here. He's on the inward parts. That's just the way I took it. I mean, I'm not a Bible scholar or, you know, an expert at this, but I'm just telling you my revelations of this. Okay, let's keep going, Brian.
Of the goats for a burnt sacrifice. He shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces, with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all, and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Okay, Brad, let me point out something here. When it talks about the offering being made by a sacrifice of burnt in fire, I just want to say that us, in today's times, is the same way. When we are to put our bodies as a living sacrifice, right, unto the Lord, which means we are to give him everything, okay? We do not have rights to this. We don't have a right to go have sex with people outside of marriage. We don't have a right to get carved up with tattoos because our body is not our own. This is God's skin. This is his body. We're not to whore after other lovers. We're not to whore after our own self. We can whore after our own self because we can become a god unto ourselves and do what we want and put God's will on the back burner. Okay? So when we know that we are putting ourselves on the altar and allowing God to burn us with fire, how does he burn you with fire? Through affliction. He burns you, tests you, purges you, cleanses you, washes you by the fire. You know, like a diamond sifting you, purifying you. That's when you put yourself up on the altar. But a lot of people, the problem is they don't keep their self on the altar. They remove their self because they want their plan more than they want God's. Because when you put yourself on the altar, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to submit to his will. You're going to have to die to his purposes. You're going to have to stay there in the fire. see? And that is the sacrifice that we are today. Okay, let's go on over to chapter 2 and continue here.
Leviticus 2. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priests shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn a memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Let me pause here real quick, because I wanted to bring out this one quick little part about the leaven. Remember, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. God says right here, I want no leaven in the altar. In other words, do not mix in the altar, in the offering. I just wanted to point that out. Okay, let's go on to chapter 3.
Leviticus 3. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering for a...
Okay, Brad, I just want to pause right here a second, because I want you to consider something, Brad. As we are learning about God's requirement for sin, his requirement for the sacrifice. Think about Aaron and his sons, how dirty they get doing these offerings. The children of Israel, there's millions of them. and they're bringing, these families are bringing these goats, these animals, birds to the tabernacle as an offering. Then they have to kill it, which means you have to put up with kids screaming and crying because their animal friends are dying. The animal's screaming. Then they have to cut it to pieces, put up with the dung, the urine, the inside parts that stink, the grossness of sin. Do you see what I mean? The grossness of the sacrifices. Cutting them up, tearing them apart, putting the head over here, separating the fat from the kidney, separating the fat from the liver. You know, having to do all of this is nasty and ugly. And you know, that's how it is when you deal with demons. When you cast demons out of people, it is nasty and ugly. Sometimes they will vomit, tumors will literally fall off people. They will cuss, they will scream, they'll fight, they'll get angry. Their face may contort. It's just ugly. And when you deal with people that are bound up in sin, and they're bound up with demons, it can be very ugly. And this is what Christianity is about. When you're dealing with sin, this is why a lot of churches don't want to deal with casting out demons. They don't want to deal with sin because they don't want their tabernacle dirty. They don't want to deal with it. It's dirty, it's ugly, and it's messy. But it is a must deal. We must deal with this. Why? Because people are bound up. This is why the country is sick like it is. Because we are not out there casting demons out and delivering people. You see what I'm saying? So I just wanted to bring that up. Let's go back here to the Word.
Sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female. He shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump, it shall he take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Leviticus 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood, and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is, in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him, and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock with.
Okay, Brad, I just want to point out something here. Did you notice the difference of the sins of an individual person and then as a congregation, as a unit, as a nation? I want us to consider this about the United States. Because on the back here, it talks about if you sin individual, then you are to take the bullock outside of the camp and do all this. It says, and he shall bring the bullock to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil. And then the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar at the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is on the inwards, and the two kidneys, which I think is just amazing that they even know what all this is. And it says, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp into a clean place. In other words, get it away from there. Okay, but then when it talks about on behalf of Israel as a whole, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, when the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now this is key, Brian, about repentance for our nation. This is God. This is God. How did that sin get covered? It says, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. So, it took the leaders of Israel, coming to God in repentance together, laying their hands on the bullock and admitting, transferring the sins of Israel upon the bullock. So in order for the nation to repent and turn, we have to have our leaders do it and turn, bride. Are we doing that today? No, it's actually waxing worse. Okay, so I just wanted to point that out, the difference between the individual and the sin. The sin of the nation required the elders. Okay, let's continue.
Without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned, and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin, wherein he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Leviticus 5. And if a soul sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty.
Okay, bride, you know I have to talk about this because I have been addressing this a lot with the ecumenical movement and the emergent church and all that about touching the unclean thing. This is a great example of it because he says, do not touch the unclean thing. He said, or if a soul touches an unclean thing, touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that the man shall be defiled withal. And it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Listen, one thing that came out when we did the 40 days fasting and praying for our nation about the idols is that if you're in a church or a part of an organization or whatever, and you know that they are sinning, that they are doing wrong, like being a part of the ecumenical movement or the emergent church or whatever, partnering with the Masons or the Illuminati, you know, any of these types of things. Or if they're not preaching sin, if they're preaching things that are not doctrinally sound, like saying hell doesn't exist and all these other things, you've got to get out, bride. You've got to run for the hills, because you will be just as guilty. When the judgment comes down on that pastor and comes down on that church because of the vomit he's been spewing to people, where he's not helping people, but he's actually sending them to hell, whoever is in his, whoever's been touching this unclean thing is going to be affected too. This is it, bride. This is the word of God. If we touch the unclean thing. Okay, here's another thing. Let's say you vote for someone that you know is pro-abortion. And you know is against everything God stands for. Their blood is on your hands and so is the nation. Because when they sin, you helped them. You participated in that. You went to the ballot box and you supported what they was doing. You are just as guilty. You have touched an unclean thing. There's no way to get around it, bro. God hates mixture, and he doesn't want us touching the unclean thing. All right, let's keep going.
Swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the 10th part of an ephah fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest. And the priest.
All right, Brad, I just want to say right here. When he says right here, when you're bringing a sin offering, don't put frankincense on it. Don't try to put oil on it and make it smell good. Sin stinks. Holiness and purity is a beautiful scent to his nostrils. But sin stinks. That's what he's saying right here. Don't try to beautify what you're doing. Don't try to make it smell good. It's just going to make it worse on you. That's basically what he's saying. Let's continue.
The priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's, as a meat offering. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul commit a trespass, and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin, and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred, and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord.
Okay, Brian, one thing we have learned from today's Bible study is that there is a price for sin. There is a day of reckoning when it comes to sin. There is a time to answer to God for the sin. Because it says right here, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Every one of the sins that are committed has to pay the piper. And that's why what's happening in our nation has to be answered to the Lord for what's happening in our nation, the sins that are taking place in our nation. All right, Bri, well, God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow.